Bible speaks of phantoms and trials and the last days, how they'll sweep through our land. But we have His assurance that through all of these trials we'll be led by His mighty hand. Manna from God will come down from above to restore and to nourish our souls. So through all of our trials and all of our fears, remember God has it under control, under control. It's under control. Oh, don't be afraid for the billows may roll. God's almighty hand is still in command. So rejoice in your soul, for it's under control. Like David of old, and the giant trials you may face. But just when you think you're standing alone, you'll find Jesus standing there in your place, with a stronger faith. Giant will fall, and Jesus, oh, the victory is in Thee. So today, as back then, in this world, don't forget, remember God has it under the billows may roll. God's almighty hand is still in command. So rejoice in your soul, for it's control. So rejoice in your soul, for it's under control. Thank you, Lord.
You know, I was sitting back there thinking a few minutes ago, it sounds like they had a really good time here Friday night, and I can't wait till I get old enough to be in that group. Hey, I'm way over 50, so you don't have to lower it for me. I want Savannah and Sarah to come up at this time and sing for us. As they're coming up, though, I sometimes you get in trouble when you call people out, but I just want to say, I'm blessed this morning, personally, to see Brother Wesley and Sister Donna and Sister Carlene here this morning. They've been through a lot. And it's, I know that Brother Wesley's family, Sister Donna's family, is going through a lot right now with his brother-in-law. And I want you to continue to pray for that precious family. But you pray for these girls as they come to sing for us this morning.
That's good singing, amen.
Yeah.
I was excited before I got here. And you come in and hear that kind of singing. I like being in the house of God. I like going to church. Yesterday, I was in church, but a little bit different situation. I was at a funeral of a little baby that died in its mother's womb the day before it was supposed to be born. I got a real echo or something up here. But as I was there, the preacher did a fantastic job, and the family, they're Christians, and they did a great job. But they sang a couple of songs. Now, if you're saved by the grace of God, you'll understand this. If you're not, you won't. But I was sitting there, and they sang that first song, and I got to twitching. And then they sang that second song, and it even got even better. And I was looking around trying to be respectful, but I wanted to holler, amen. You see, because if you're saved by the grace of God, a funeral is a home going. Now, when I pass away, if y'all are still around, here's what I want. I want a barbecue like the Wild Game Banquet. I want y'all to sing. I want you to shout. I want you to praise God. I don't want people to mourn. I don't want people to worry. Because just like I heard you when I walked by, Brother Tommy, I'm going to be with God. I'm glad I'm saved. Glad I don't have to hope I'm saved. I don't have to worry about it. I'm glad my family don't have to say, well, we think he was saved. You can know that you know that you know. And if you don't know, please know before you leave today. I want to say this about this church. The altars are always open. And you know, I thank God that people use them. But I want to tell you, you got to do business with God at some point in your life. It's a personal thing. It's a personal relationship with a living God. And if you don't know him for yourself, you need to know him. Now, on the Lord willing this morning, I want to preach on this subject this morning. Where is your treasure? And I've had this scripture on my heart. It's in Matthew chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 19 down through verse number 21. I'm going to read. But I want to talk about that this morning. I want you to think about it. Where is your treasure? And I want to ask you, do you have any treasure in heaven? You know, if you don't have treasure in heaven and you live your whole life and your treasure is here, what are you going to do when it's your time to go? And let me tell you, you're going to go.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, some, I've heard people say, well, two things in life that are sure is death and taxes. Well, taxes are not sure. People get out of paying taxes all the time. But I want to tell you something. You're going to die. Some people are sooner than others. You know, we have treasure in heaven in our family. I have a little 3-year-old sister that passed away with cancer. She's with God now. We played that song just a minute ago, Jesus Has a Rocking Chair. And I sat up there at that funeral and I looked at that mother and daddy, and they were up in their 30s before they decided they were going to have a child. And they planned it, and you know, they had a little boy on the way. And the dad got up last Monday morning, he went in there and he spoke to his wife and he said, how's my boy this morning? And she said, well, things, he just not don't seem right. He's not moving much. And his due date was on Tuesday, and she called the doctor, and the doctor said, well, come on in. And she went into the doctor, and by the time she got there, he had no heartbeat. Now, she had to be induced in labor to have that little boy. He weighed 8 pounds, 4 ounces, was perfect to look at. But they said there was something wrong with his little heart. Now, as I sat there in that funeral, I looked at that little casket about that long, and I looked at that mom and daddy, and they rejoiced as we walked by, and they said, you know, one thing about it, he'll never have to endure the pains and sufferings of this life. He's rocking in the arms of Jesus right now, and he'll never have to suffer here. But what did David say when his son was dead? He said, I can't bring him back, but I can go and be with him. I got a 3-year-old sister in heaven. I'll see her again. I've got a daddy in heaven. I'll see him again. I did not meet Pastor Quinn on this side, but we'll sit down and we'll talk about it when I get there. A lot of you here today, you've got loved ones that are in heaven, but some of you have loved ones that are lost. It's time to tell them that they need to get right with God, because it's not forever here. If you're here this morning and you're lost, guess what? When you die, if you don't get saved, you're going to die lost. Amen. And you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. Amen. Not popular, but I'm just about as old-fashioned as they come. Yeah. Told my wife yesterday, I said, I'm a dinosaur. When I die, there ain't going to be no more. I'm just going to get as much good out of it as I can while I'm here. Where is your treasure? I've got treasure in heaven. I've got some treasure on this earth. But where is yours? Let's read the scripture, Matthew chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 19. Here's what it says. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now let's begin to look at it and think about it for just a minute. What is treasure? And I looked that up, and here's of course what the dictionary told me. It said, it is accumulated stored wealth in the form of valuables such as money or jewels, a person or thing considered especially precious or valuable. It means to accumulate and save for future use, or to hoard. It means to value or appreciate highly. Now, when you look at it in that sense, now one thing I understand about this life, we need to be good stewards of what God's given us. So I'm not going to get into the fact that, or tell you that you should not save, or you should not work, or you should not plan for the future. You should. Now, Jesus is coming soon. I believe that with all my heart. But I'm going to tell you something. I hadn't quit trying to save for the future. I got a wife, I got 2 sons, and one day I hope to be able to do what Brother Tom has done and retire and play golf every day. So I'm not talking about that, okay? That's something different, so please don't misunderstand. But what do you really treasure in this life? You know that the Powerball is up to what, $700 million? Over that now? A billion. I'm not even going to ask for a raising of hands how many tickets were bought. You know, I'd love to have, you know, sometimes we think, well, man, if I could just win that. But I was talking to a guy this week at work, and we began to talk about it, and of course it come up, and I said, but what if you won it? What would it do to you? What would it do to your family? Do you know that most average people who win money like that, it absolutely destroys them? See, if you want $1 billion, you'd have to disappear, because everybody you know would be after you and everybody you don't know. And if it doesn't build character in you, what about your children? What about your future? You see, because people on this earth, they have so much treasure in the wrong things, and because they don't have treasure in the right things, it distorts and it devalues what is really most important. Because the scripture says to lay not up treasure on the earth, where moth and rust corrupts and where steals, thieves break through and steal. Well, let's understand something about treasure. Something you like is different than treasure. There are things that I really like. I like to play golf, but it's not a treasure. I like to hunt. I mean, I love being in the woods. I told my wife yesterday, I said, when you get to heaven, it's just going to evolve October 25th to November 25th, over and over and over again. I said, the leaves are going to turn and fall off, and then it's going to start all over. She looked at me, she said, no, when we get to heaven, we're going to be on the beach, and we're going to wear sandals. I said, oh, Lord, does that mean when we get to heaven, we'll be living in different places? See, I like to hunt, and I like to fish. I like to be out there in the spring when it's just starting to turn green and hear that turkey gobble. I like to shop. Not really. Some of y'all like to shop. I know y'all like to shop. But something you like is different than something that you treasure. See, I like those things, but here's what I treasure. I treasure my wife. I treasure my children. I treasure my church family. And I treasure my Lord. You see, when people have trouble in this life, it's when they get confused and they get their treasures and their likes out of sorts. You see, as much as I like to hunt, there's no way that I'm going to get up and go to the woods and forsake my job and let my family do without so I can do something that I want. There's no way that I'm going to take what I should be spending to pay my house payment or buy groceries and go buy something that I want for a hobby. You see, likes and treasures are two different things. And we must have things in the proper order. Treasures should be first, and likes should be second. I heard someone give an acrostic on the word joy, that joy means Jesus first, others second, and you last. But a lot of times people have so much trouble in this life trying to live as they're living out of balance. So you can live and you can have balance in your life. There's nothing wrong with those things we like, as long as they are in the proper place. But in order to have things in the proper place, it's very important to have Jesus first. To have your family, yes, your family second. Because you have to put God before everything. I believe with all my heart that God has to be first in your life. And as a man, even a head of a household, if God is not first in your life and you don't put Him first, it doesn't matter how elevated you try to put other things, it'll never be where it's supposed to be because God's not first. So God has to be first, family has to be second, and likes or pleasures, hobbies, things have to be last. Doesn't mean you can't have them. Because God wants to bless you. I want you to understand that. Consider what we treasure. What do people treasure? A lot of times people treasure things. But the truth is, things pass. You know, especially when I was younger, I can remember when I was a teenager, all I wanted was a four-wheel drive. I wanted a four-wheel drive truck. I used to take my mother's cars, and I'm glad she didn't know then. I can say it now. One time she had a little green station wagon. I took that thing down to Talbot County, 3 miles off a paved road down the side of a cliff, almost run it into a tree, and all the time I'm thinking, I wish I had a four-wheel drive. And it's a little different, I know, for different people. But, you know, I used to think if I ever got this car or this truck, it's what I used to think. I'd never want anything else. But I don't care what it is you think will satisfy you. I promise you, when you get it, here's what's going to happen. It's going to get miles on it. It's going to wear out. The tires are going to need replaced. The rust is going to come up under the quarter panels where the salt and the mud comes up. Because everything in this life, going to corrupt. So it's things. Well, sometimes it's things, but here's something that sometimes people treasure as well. People treasure fame. They want the recognition of others. They want their name in lights. They want to be known. They want to win American Idol. They want to be on this. They want to be on that. They want everybody to know who they are. That's why a lot of times when people get elevated in a certain office, it changes them. The power, the fame, turns them into a monster. That's why sometimes it's not even good to have. That's why maybe the truth is, if sometimes people could realize what winning $1 billion would do to their family and could see the future, they may say, I don't want it. What do we want? Consider where we treasure. The scripture says, moth and rust doth corrupt. And here's something to understand about this life. Everything here is cursed. Doesn't the scripture say in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, in the last part of the verse, there was a curse on the man, there was a curse on the woman, there's a curse on the serpent, but there's a curse on the ground. And he said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. That's why when it rains too much and the water rises, the mold grows. And if it grows in the walls have to be tore out, and when the water comes in, because moth and rust corrupts. Another problem we have is sin. That's why if you lay your treasures up here, this place, this earth is cursed. It's cursed and there's trouble, but there's also sin. Thieves break through and steal because sin reigns here. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, the scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. But then it comes right around and it brings it right back to the same place. It says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, the problem is when your treasure is here, you live earthly minded. And it's so sad to think about that the only thing that I have to look forward to is what I have here. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with having things here. There's nothing wrong with having a big, beautiful home. Nothing wrong with taking vacations. Nothing wrong with going every year and trading your old car in for a new one, as long as that's not your treasure. See, when you live here and your treasure is here, you live with an earthly mind. And you live for yourself. You know, sometimes when I look at people who have decided that they're going to live their life trying to help somebody else, I think that's really the ultimate sacrifice on this earth. That's why sometimes when I look at what missionaries do, and sometimes this happens where a doctor will be very well educated and he could make a good living and have a lot here, but when he goes somewhere and he helps someone or he bandages up the wound of a little child that would otherwise maybe have died, he realizes that all the treasures in this earth compared nothing to having treasure in heaven, because every time you help somebody in Jesus' name, you're doing it unto him. When your treasure is here, you simply live for what gives you pleasure. But what about when your treasure is in heaven? Here's the thing about heaven. In heaven, there is no moth and no rust because there is no corruption. No corruption in heaven. There are no thieves because there is no sin in heaven. See, when your treasure is in heaven, you live on the earth heavenly minded. In other words, you live in such a way that you want your life to be a help to others. And you try to live your life in such a way that your life pleases God. See, the Bible tells us there'll be no sin in heaven. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into it, within the gates of the city, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's why it's so important when we sang that song a while ago, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I mean, if you can't say profoundly and knowingly, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there, you should have already been praying. Because there's not going to be any sin in heaven. Only they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now here's something to understand about where your treasure is. That's why I said there are things I like and there are things I treasure. Anything you treasure on earth should be something you'll treasure in heaven. Now you think about that one for just a minute. Anything treasured on earth should also be something that I can, I will, or I would treasure in heaven. This is a little write-it-down statement. I've said this several times, but I've got this pinned up on my wall at work. It's off one of those daily calendars, you know, they give you a little statement. And this is what it says. When I take inventory of the things in life that matter most, I find that none will have been purchased with money. You see, the things that I treasure here, if I really treasure the right things, guess what? They're going to be with me in heaven. That's why, with all my heart, I desire that all of my family be saved. With all my heart, I desire that everybody who comes in this church would go out of this church knowing Christ as their personal Savior. And with all my heart, I like worship. That's why, as I sat there yesterday and they sang, the first song they sang was Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. And the pastor sang it and he sang it and it was so good and I listened to it and I began to feel it moving me because I knew it. And then the lady got up and she sang the next song and this is the song she sang. At a funeral, oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. And you know, that song wasn't for a little baby that's really without sin in the eyesight of God because it's not reached the age of accountability. But that is for mama and daddy to say, oh yes. Just like David said, I can't bring him back, but I can go and be with him. He said, they said, you know what they were saying to everybody there as a testimony? Oh yes. Oh yes. We'll see him again. Oh yes. Because our treasure is in heaven. Now here's a self-check considering your treasure. I want you to consider that your walk on this earth reflects where your treasure is. Your walk reflects where your treasure is. See, if you say your treasure is in heaven, does your walk reflect it? It's kind of like this. None of us preach or really could have our funeral preached by a preacher. It's such a difficult thing to call a preacher to come. And we want everybody to go to heaven, but I just want to tell you something. Everybody's not going. Because everybody's not asked Christ into their heart. Everybody's not been saved. Everybody's not lived a life that's pleasing to God. And the truth is, there's a lot of people don't have no treasure in heaven. When you start trying to witness to them, they don't want to hear it. When you start trying to bid them to come to the house of God, they don't want nothing to do with it because they don't like worship. They have no treasure in it. But when the time comes to go, who can give them assurance? See, your walk reflects where your treasure is. The things you honor reflect where your treasure is. Where you spend your time reflects where your treasure is. And what you spend your money on reflects where your treasure is. It's almost like this. Sometimes I have people, they want to tell me what they believe. But I want to tell you the way it is. You don't have to tell anybody what you believe. People are looking at your life, they already know. See, I believe with all my heart that what you believe is the way you live. And you say, well, I believe this and I believe that, but are you living like that? Because the truth is, the way you live is what you believe. So your walk reflects your treasure. Second thing to consider about your treasure is you need to realize, just like I said, your days are numbered. Our time on this earth is limited. In Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 12, the scripture says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I've even thought about it like this. You ever seen those daily calendars that you pin up on the wall and every day you go over and you tear a day off? Could you imagine if God gave you a calendar and it was a calendar of your life? And you could flip it over to the back and see what the last day was. And every day that you come in, you tore off a day, you knew there was a result out there. And you knew what the date was that God was going to call you home. How would you be living? What would you be doing in relationship to your wife and your husband and your children and the people around you and your church family? How would you be living for God? Well, here's the thing to understand. Your days are numbered. And we need to apply our hearts into wisdom that we'd walk with God and recognize the value of having our treasure in the right place. James 4:14, the latter part of the verse, says, our life, what is our life? But it's even a vapor. Sometimes my wife and I, we get out the pictures. And I mentioned it here, I think, on Wednesday night about having just at some point preaching a message and having pictures of all of our kids as they grow up here behind us the whole time I'm preaching. To recognize how fast it goes by. You remember when you brought them home from the hospital, Brother Tommy? Remember what it was like when they were growing up and you realized the opportunity that you had? And my wife showed me a picture this morning of just 5 years ago at our house when it was snowing. And she said, look at Matthew. She said, that's just 5 years ago. I got a grandson that lives 10 hours away, and when I see him every time, First Chronicles 29:15 is what David said. He said, our days on earth are as a shadow. Job 7:6, he said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And Genesis 5, the scripture says that Adam lived a number of years and he died. In the same chapter, Genesis 5, 9 times, the words he lived and died is found in the chapter. So it's important to understand, as it says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. That's why it's so important that we have our treasure in the right place. Another thing to consider is that your place in eternity depends on what and where your treasure lies. See, not everyone actually has treasure in the things of God. That's why sometimes if you're at work and you're talking about the Lord and somebody overhears you and they mock or they laugh, or they come up to you and they say they want to talk to you, but in reality, all they want to do is make fun of what you believe. Not everyone has treasure in the things of God. That's why the scripture tells us to cast not our pearls before the swine. Now, I know those are strong words, but that's what the Bible says. That's why I don't argue or even try to debate with somebody that doesn't believe. Here's why. It's precious to me. Precious to me. And anybody that I can help, I'll help them with it. But not everybody wants help. I don't know what they think. If they think they're going to live forever. If they think they just are going to do whatever they want and it be all right. But the scriptures are very plain. And not everyone's going to heaven. See, I believe people say, well, everybody wants to go to heaven. I'm not sure about that. You know what heaven's going to be like? I heard people say, well, ain't going to be no preaching in heaven. Well, I don't know about that. Because when I get close to the Spirit of God, it's hard for me to be quiet. That's why I was at that funeral going, ooh, ooh, ooh. It wasn't my turn. It wasn't expedient. But when the Holy Spirit began to move, I wanted to say, that's my Jesus. I want to say, my name is there. I want to say, I've got treasure over there. See, when we get to heaven, we're going to be worshiping around the throne. We're going to be praising the name of Jesus. We're going to be rejoicing, and I believe there'll be some prophesying about the man called Jesus. But if people don't want to be in the house of God today, they're not going to like heaven. They're going to be around a bunch of people that have reached perfection. Here's what it's like. You know what it's like to be saved and come into the house of God and want to worship, but there's just some sin in your life that keeps you from being able to get free? There ain't going to be none of that in heaven. You know why? Because Paul, when he saw what was in heaven, he desired not to be unclothed but clothed upon, because he knew when he got to heaven he'd be in perfect perfection before God. See, if you want to go to heaven, you need to learn how to serve God here. Because when you get there and you're around the throne and you see Jesus, you wouldn't say you'd be miserable anyway. That's why you need to be saved today. And here I want you to understand the last thing to consider about where your treasure lies. Is you will reap the fruits of your treasure. See, if your treasure is in heaven, you're going to reap it. See, it's just like them when they had that little casket of that little baby and they sang that song, "Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King." They said, "We're going to see that boy." When I was there and, you know, I preached the funeral of my dad, there's no doubt in my mind, I'm going to see my dad again. There's no doubt in my mind as I've been serving the Lord in here these 50 years now. I'm qualified for y'all's group.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of people go to be with the Lord. People I've worshiped with, people I've served with, people that when they're gone, oh, how we miss them. But that's a treasure we'll have in heaven. See, we get to heaven, we're going to meet our Savior.
Yeah.
There'll be no night there. I mean, for the Lamb himself is going to be the light. We'll see heaven in its perfection. We'll see God. We'll live in the grace and the peace of God. But I'm going to have 10,000 years to sit down with everyone that I've missed and just talk it over. We'll talk about the things sometimes on this life we didn't have time to talk about. You know what it's like when you're busy and you want to and you can't? Won't be like that there. I'm going to reap the treasure, the fruits of the treasure that I've had here. See, in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18, the scripture says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now here's the question. Do you have treasure in heaven? Will you see Jesus as your Savior? That's treasure. It's treasure to me because of what he's done for me. See, I have loved ones that are in heaven, and I'm going to see them. And I believe that King David will see his son. And I believe that Chris and Hannah will see little Mac. I believe I'm going to see my dad, and I could go down the list. All the people that have gone before us. But you got to be going to see them. You got to know for yourself. It's a personal thing. Nobody can go for you. Nobody can pray you into heaven after you die. See, the treasure's in heaven. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see my loved ones. But I'm going to live in perfect peace. Perfect, absolute, perfect peace. I desire it here, and I want it here, and the peace of God, the scripture says, that passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But when I get to heaven, there's not going to be any battle between the flesh and the spirit. Because sin's going to be gone, Satan's going to be cast down. Perfect peace. Now here's something else that's going to be in heaven. And folks, $1 billion won't buy this. But there's going to be streets of gold. That's what the scripture says. There's going to be walls of jasper and gates of pearl. Now that's what the Bible says. And didn't Jesus say, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, we can debate about what that mansion is going to look like. I told Kendra yesterday, I said, "I don't know about you, but my mansion is going to have a front porch with a tin roof." I said, "When it's sleeting, I'm going to sit out there and look at them leaves fall." Now, that'd be heaven to me. I don't care nothing about no marble floors and stuff like that. But you know what I do believe? When you get to heaven, if you're saved, you're going to be satisfied. You're not going to get up there and say, "Oh, I thought it'd be like this. Oh, I missed that back down there." But no, you're going to say, "God, it's better than I ever could have thought it would have been." But you got to have treasure there. Now, why would anybody want to go to heaven that don't treasure it? Now, I want to speak to you this morning. I'm going to ask them to come get a verse of song. I want you to understand something. And this is just, my heart's heavy for this. God loves you more than I can describe. More, I can't explain that to you. And that's why he comes and he knocks on your heart's door. Just to remind you that everything he did is because he wants a relationship with you. You. Nobody can take your place. Nobody can fulfill what God wants with you personally as an individual. But you must come to Jesus on your own. You must place some treasure in the things of God. I ask you to rise to your feet if God spoke to your heart. There's nothing more important. You can just come and say, Lord, I don't say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. Well, you can pray where you're at, but I want to tell you something. When you step out and you make an attempt to come to an altar and seek God, I believe just there's just something special about that that God honors. And if God spoke to your heart and you'd like to pray, those that have treasure in heaven would like to pray with you. Even if you want to come and there's anything troubling your heart, sometimes you know what you need to do. Preacher yesterday, as he was preaching, he read some words of a song by Casting Crowns. The song is Just Be Held. Sometimes you got trouble. Sometimes you're struggling. Sometimes you just need to come and let God do this. God's waiting right now for somebody this morning. Oh.
Took me under. try.